Good morning, Columbia Grove, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We invite you to worship, whether you're on the screen or you're here in the room.
You came and broke them down. You broke them down. And there were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive.
So glad to have you here. Please have a seat. Thanks for joining us. My name is Andrew, and actually Marcia and Brant, make your way on up here. We're just thrilled to have you here. Isn't it a great time of year? We got the sun shining. It's getting nice and warm. We got to celebrate Flag Day and then Juneteenth and now Father's Day. So congratulations and thank you to all the fathers out there. Come on up. Come on up. So we got a couple of outstanding people we need you to hear from a little bit today. First is Marcia. Come on up. Marcia Keithley, who coordinates our children's church. Who here appreciates the people that have been ministering to our kids? Woo! Marcia has been a key part of that. So what do you want these fine folks to know?
Well, hi. Yeah,
put it up to the...
Oh, yes.
There you
Hello.
Go.
But I talk loud, so...
Nope.
I love working with the kids. But my problem is I can't do it by myself, and I certainly can't do it every Sunday, because by the fourth Sunday, I would probably be laying back there on the floor. So what I need is some volunteers. We've had some... It's awesome. We've had... mom and dads together go back. I've even roped Malcolm in today to helping me. I mean, but you know, I figured it out. There's only 52 Sundays in a year. So how many Sundays would you have to do if you volunteered a couple of times a year? And it's easy. We got new curriculum. They did a great job with the curriculum. So please, you know, see Paul or I if you'd be interested at all in just trying it just once. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thanks, Marcia. And Brant is here from our leadership team. Every now and again, we like to give a bit of an insight to what's happening behind the scenes. And Brant is some of the brains behind the scenes. I'm so grateful for him. So, Brant, what do these nice folks need to know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, a couple of announcements. It's mostly just some housekeeping and get you guys caught up. And especially as we are rolling here and getting used to coming back in person and getting our information updated. It's been almost a couple of years, year and a half since we've really had any of the cards in front of you. So this is the opportunity, whether you do it electronically online, whether you drop a note into the offering basket, whether you message office@columbiagrove.org, we want to get your most updated information, email, address, things like that, so that we can make sure that any announcements, anything that we need to let you know about gets to you in the best possible way. So I know that we've moved. I was actually thinking about that. I need to update our address, because I'm sure Andrew's been sending me tons of cards, and I just haven't been getting them because it's not at the right address.
There's a big pile of UPS care packages outside of the wrong house.
It's, well, hopefully those folks there that are living there are enjoying it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So
you do like six-week-old sushi, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll go fine. Yeah.
If I'm not here next week, you'll know why. The other thing, just as Paul said in the opening announcements, thank you for your continued giving. We really appreciate that. Another thing that you can update on there is your form of giving and the way that you give. Just as you're maybe not here every Sunday because it's a gorgeous summer here in the valley and you're on vacation, there's plenty of ways there that you can give automatically or via text. Speaking of that, the wireless carriers have come up with a new mass texting system and phone number, and so we wanted to give you the updated number for that. The updated number is 833-468-4378, and that'll be in other places, so if you didn't catch that. But just be aware that there'll be a new texting number to text Columbia Grove and to be able to give by text. The last thing is a little fun announcement. July 4th is a Sunday, and we decided that we will be doing a get-together in the evening, since this is a great place in our parking lot to view the fireworks. We're going to have root beer floats. We're going to have some games for the kids, and then we will watch the fireworks. So we just thought that would be a really neat thing to do outdoors, to get together. Yeah. So be on the lookout for some more information on that. We're really looking forward to that. Thank you.
Great idea. Thanks so much, Brant. All right, well, let's pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. So would you just join me in a word of prayer? Lord, thanks for our kids. God, we are just so especially grateful for those that work with our kids. They give their time, and you are changing their lives because of that. As they hear the gospel, they're being changed by the gospel. So God, would you just bless them today. And for all of the people that are pouring into them, the volunteers, their parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, God, you said, let the children come to me and don't hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Lord, we just thank you for opportunities to invest in this next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. So while our kids are getting settled in Children's Church, take a few moments and greet a few people around you. You can give them a high five. You can give them a fist bump if it's appropriate. You can give them you can shake their hand. Even we'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen. It's kind of fun. People are joining us from Penticton, from Florida, from the middle of a river. So we got some cool stuff here. And then we'll just jump back into singing in about 30 seconds.
Good morning, everyone. Just as we make our way back to our seats, we're going to start a song that is called Who You Say I Am. And one of the things that's really great is that, you know, we have these name tags that has our names on it, right? It says what our name is. But God calls us other things. He calls us beloved. He calls us son, daughter, chosen. Me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Just as we make our way back to our seats, we're going to start a new song that, not a new song, it's something that we've sing pretty frequently, but it's called Who You Say I Am. And one of the things, like when you first come into the church, you see that you have a name tag and we all have our names on it so that we all know what to call each other, right? And one of the great things about God is that He calls us other things. He calls us chosen. He calls us redeemed, beloved, son, daughter, redeemed. And so as we begin to sing this song, let's just boldly and confidently, like it says in Psalms 38:5, to proclaim who we are and continue to sing in with our Father. So if you don't mind, let's stand as we sing.
I was lost, but He brought me, no help.
going to invite Michelle up to do our congregational prayer. And that's just one of those things. Let's just remember who we are, not our name, but who we are and who Christ says that we are.
Good morning, church family. To all of you here in person and to you online, we'd like to extend a happy Father's Day to all the fathers around the world and to the one and only mighty and wondrous Father. Will you all bow your heads with me? Father God, we stand in awe of all you have made. We lift our hands up to you and just thank you for all the new beginnings we see all around us. We see the rivers flowing quickly with snow melt, the trees bursting with fruit, beautiful flowers blooming with exquisite color. Oh, gracious and loving God, we ask for your almighty hand to be upon us today as we honor our fathers. We ask you, Father God, to empower fathers to lead us into the future with faith, hope, and great love guided by your light. May your wisdom be their guide as they make decisions and lead our families. May their ears hear and eyes see in ways that only you allow. May their hands be an extension of you, Christ, and may their feet go as you call on them. Thank you, God, for every good example of fatherhood we experience in our lives and for the dads that sacrifice for their families and love them well. Lord, we ask for healing in relationships and for healing of every person who carries wounds from bad earthly examples of fatherhood. We ask for blessings on our fathers, for love, protection, mercy, strength, and wisdom. May they live passionately to honor and glorify your name. Father God, we have a lot to be thankful for, but sometimes it's hard to see through the storms. With all the sin, violence, lies, and corruption in this world, we ask for your path that will steer us away. We pray that we can all come together and work together in unity. What a beautiful picture I have in my head. Everyone standing, holding hands, singing of your glory and goodness as all the sin washes away. And all we have left is love. One day, Lord, one day, and we can't wait. As we are gathered today, let us pray for our world concerns, our government leaders in all areas, local, state, and nationally. We have seen government get farther away from you, Lord, so we ask for your mighty hand to change that direction. With that, we also pray for racial discrimination to fall away and that unity, love, and togetherness be our focus. We pray for refugees, immigrants, and the homeless. May they not only find you, but they find a home. We pray for all the people that are hurting, for those suffering here and around the world, the depressed, lonely, sick, those struggling in marriage, people looking for work, and all those struggling with addiction. Lord, we ask for your light to shine on the darkness of all these things and guide us to help one another. Let your word be our guide in all these things. Father, we pray for the missionaries, church leaders, evangelists, and pastors. Let there be a wall of protection around them so they can continue their great works, spreading your message. We pray for our children's church, that kids would grow in their faith and that teachers would be encouraged and blessed. Thank you for our teachers here and everywhere as they passionately give their time to teach your word. For our congregation, Father, we ask for specific prayers. We pray for Tony Jones' mother, Jerry, as she has suffered from an apparent stroke. Please heal Jerry and give the doctors and nurses just the right course of action so that she will recover completely. We pray for Debbie Garrow and her family as they grieve the passing of Debbie's uncle, Len. May you give them the peace and comfort they all need. And at this time, we would like to give people the time to lift their own prayers to you, Father, silently or out loud. Father God, we ask for special blessings over Andrew. He has spent so much time getting prepared to share your message, and we appreciate the heart and soul he puts into it so that we might hear your voice through it. Guide Andrew, Lord, as he talks to us about emotions and what it means to be emotionally healthy. We ask that Andrew's message will resonate in each of our hearts, because your love for each one of us is great. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Thanks. Can we give her a hand? It's okay to, you know, clap for people as they pray. So, just love hearing her heart. So, a number of years ago, we lived in Chicago in this, like a sixplex apartment. And we were kind of one building back from Foster Avenue. Foster Avenue was very, very, very busy, about four lanes of traffic pretty much all the time. And so from time to time, when Foster would get really, really stuffed with traffic, cars would be coming down the alleyway that was right off of our sixplex. I mean, like you have like kind of like little dining room, window, you know, and there's alleyway, cars just right there. And at the time, Lauren was about 1 year old. Now, who either remembers having kids that young or your grandkids that young, right? You remember this. And you know that when your kids are, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, like nap time and sleep, it is a precious thing, isn't it? For everyone in the house. I remember it would take a long time sometimes to get Lauren to fall asleep. And so you do all these little tricks. My personal favorite was I would hold her and I would blow on her eyelids. You can thank me later, young parents. Because then, you know, her eyes would get a little sleepy from that. Because you know, if you can get those eyelids closed for about 20 seconds, they're out. Right. Anyways, so, but sleep was this really precious thing. And so you combine nap time and the problem that we occasionally had in this alleyway, of course, of cars just come flying down this alleyway because they're trying to avoid all this traffic. And some of these cars, these, they would come with a, you ever heard like downtown city car stereos? You know, boom, 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 boom. I love the sound of an 808 as much as anyone. But, you know, they're coming down this alleyway and, like, literally, you know, the remember, honey? You know, like the pictures on the wall would shake. And most importantly, our daughter would wake up. So, after a day where a number of those things that were happening, I was leaving the apartment and I was heading off to class just a couple of blocks away, and the same car that had come down this alleyway at high speed, loudly, the last two times passed me again. And so as I'm coming out the back alleyway, in a really Christian way, I said to them, "Slow down, I yelled at him, right? And so then, but the car just kept going, and then something came over me, and the only thing I had in my hand at that time was a water bottle. And I just, I throw it, boom, it hits the back of the car. The car comes to a halt. The guy gets out of the car. I remember him being larger than I had anticipated. And I realized in that moment, I really don't have a plan for what's next. Well, he began to say to me, "Rah, rah, 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 rah." Well, actually, with some verbal version of that. And so I responded to him in a deeply Christian way. Of course, you know, "Knock it off, you know, you're speeding down here and there's kids." And there was a playground just right off of the alleyway. I'm like, "There could be kids on that." There weren't any kids on the playground at the moment, but let's just work with it, okay? "There are kids on the playground." And thankfully, there was no damage to the car. Because, and you know that because I'm still here. But... Well, the reason I tell that story, one, it's a story from long enough ago that it doesn't involve any of you, but two, yeah, all of us, I imagine, have had moments that we felt angry, like really angry. Anger is this really powerful emotion. We're told that when we get angry, you know, you feel that rising up in you. I mean, your adrenaline glands are pumping, your muscles get tense, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up, your senses get greater, which is why you can wing a water bottle really fast on a moving car if it's in just the right moment. It's like a biological superpower that God has given us. You know, anger is an incredibly powerful emotion. But we've also been learning over the, you know, over the last couple of weeks that, you know, there's a spiritual component to our emotions, that God is spirit. God has emotions. So there's some spiritual connection to these things that we feel inside of us. We have emotions because we are made in the image and likeness of God. God has emotions. We're made in his image. Therefore, we have emotions. We are broken image bearers. We have emotions because God has emotions, but doesn't mean that every emotion we feel is going to be expressed perfectly because we are broken, actually at times desperately broken, which is why it is all the more important as we look at this topic of anger and what it means to be channeling anger, that we dive into God's Word and see what God's Word actually teaches us about anger. Because one of the misconceptions, and maybe you've kind of run into this one in your life, is that Christians don't get angry because we are all nice. Let's look around. These are nice people. They don't get angry ever. And so it's important that we know what the Bible actually teaches us about anger. So here's the first thing that we need to know is that God gets angry. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation just because it uses the word anger. Sometimes it's the same idea is translated as wrath. But God shows his anger, Romans 1:18, from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. We learn that godly anger is a response to evil and injustice. God gets angry at the things that hurt people. God gets angry at the things that hurt the world. But God doesn't necessarily get angry in the way that we get angry. We're going to learn that there's a difference between human anger and godly anger, and that we, as broken image bearers, we carry both of those things in our hearts, which is why it's important that we really learn how to figure out this anger stuff. But God gets angry. God gets angry. And Jesus got angry. Did you know that? The most loving, self-sacrificial person ever in the history of humanity, divine humanity, God in the bod, God, that same Jesus got angry. The most famous story of that we see in Jesus in the clearing of the temple. John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. In the temple courts, Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he, Jesus, made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, and he overturned the tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Christ got angry. As followers of Jesus, it is reasonable to assume that we also can get angry. So I just want to spend the few minutes that we have this morning talking about what are some things that we can do when we find ourselves angry. So we've got a little insert here, so you can follow along with that. And if for some reason you didn't get an insert and you would like one, just put your hand up, and one of our amazing ushers will get that to you. If you're following online, it's in some of the notes. If you go to message notes, especially, columbiagrove.org/message notes, you can get the get all of these, but there's a shorthand version and some of the other, all the stuff around the video. Anyways, but so here's the first thing that we need to know, and that we need to be thinking about when we're looking at what it means to channel anger, like to use anger in appropriate, godly ways. Here's the first thing we need to know, is that express your anger to God first. First. We see examples of this throughout the scriptures, especially in the Psalms. Now, so there's examples on the sheet of a variety of what are called Psalms of anger or the imprecatory Psalms. But I wanted us to take a look at Psalm 109, the first 15 verses. This is the Psalm of David. So David, a guy who's known as a man after God's own heart. He is this arguably the greatest king of Israel. And, well, he pours his heart out to the Lord, even when his heart is angry. So we're just going to read some of that, okay? And if you've never read this part of the Bible before, this might come as a bit of a surprise. But it's important that we know about this, because there's actually, I mean, dozens and dozens of passages like it, where God gives us a blueprint for telling him off when life gets especially hard. Okay, Psalm 109, 1 through 15. My God, who I praise, do not remain silent, for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. You ever been falsely accused? I have. Hurts every single time. Verse 5, they repay me evil for evil and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Oh, really? Okay. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty. May his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. God, get him. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruit of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, and may he blot out their names from the earth. God, get him, 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 punish him. God, you get him, get him. And keeps going. And if David sounds angry in this passage, it's because he is. He's really angry. But it's important to remember that the first place he puts his anger is towards God. Remember that old song from the 80s? Shout, shout, let it all out. Some of you, I see some heads bobbing that I wouldn't expect to see some heads bobbing. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I'm a kid of the 80s. So now that is not necessarily bad advice, except for this. I mean, what's the point in just shouting out your frustration to some nameless, you know, cosmos when you could have a direct audience with the creator of everything? The God of the universe invites you to come into his throne room in prayer, to lay out your case before him. One who can see everything, who knows your situation, their situation, and he can handle it. He can handle your rage. So express it to him first. There's a place to vent. God says, vent first with me. Now, it can also be wise to get some trusted friends and talk to some safe people about what you're feeling. That's a good thing to do. It can also be good to, you know, get a punching bag, go for a run. All that adrenaline that's in our bodies, it can be good to work that out. That's good too. But for the spiritual component of your anger, God says, bring it to me. And he gives us psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm to tell us and show us how to do that. Now, I imagine for some of you what you are thinking, you know, as you hear this, you know, we're reading a psalm, and yeah, that psalm sounds kind of angry, Pastor, that's really nice, but you need to know, when I'm really mad, I'm not using church words. I want to let you in on something as a, and this isn't really a secret about Bible translation, it's just a reality of Bible translation, is that when the Bible is being translated from its original language to English, kind of like, you know, in here, the, you know, David would be writing this in Hebrew, and we now have it in English so we can understand what's being said. You know, those translations are accurate and they're trustworthy. I mean, the deeper you look into this, the scholarship of biblical translation, and I hope you do, the more you'll trust it. The Bible is an incredible work, and the number of modern translations are incredibly accurate and truthful. And here's something that is important to remember. There are times when you can say the same thing different ways, that would all of which would be truthful and accurate. And because Bible translators, kind of like pastors, like to keep their jobs, when there's a choice of various words that all of which would be truthful and accurate, they will often tend to use the word or phrase that is most emotionally neutral. It's truthful, but it's emotionally neutral. It's not unnecessarily spicy. Let me illustrate. Imagine you're walking along down the sidewalk, perhaps, next to your apartment. And you, oh, stepped in some doggy business. Hate that. It's just kind of wipe that off. It's gross. If I was going to describe doggy business, I could use a euphemism like doggy business. I could use a medically accurate term like doggy scat. That's medically accurate. That is truthful. That would be a true expression of what I have just experienced. There's also other words I could use. And you are familiar with those, some of those words. I can think of one. Some of you are really advanced. You can think of like three or four. But those words that you would use for this, some of those word choices would be spicy. You know what I mean. It's important to remember that as you are reading these passages of Scripture, as David and other writers are pouring out their anger to God, the original language was spicy. There are times in your life where you need military-grade language. You know what I mean. And I am not saying for a second that those are words that you should be using on a regular basis. And I think those, you know, especially if somebody's using that, words like that a lot, it either reveals that they're quite ignorant or extremely broken. But there are a few times where it's appropriate. And believed or not, and some of you won't believe me with this, I know that. The God of the universe invites us, when those are the only ways we can express what is on our heart, which to use military grade language, to use high school hallway language, you know what I mean, right? He says, give that to me. Honest prayers. Honest prayers are very often not pretty at all. So when you find yourself with all that anger stirring up in you, the first thing to remember, give it to God. He really can handle it. He really can. He already knows your thinking. He knows what you're feeling. Why not just talk to him? Because it's as we express those things, as we vent to God in safe, appropriate ways, it allows the second step to begin to happen. And this is actually the step that we need to talk about in terms of anger, but it's really with every other emotion as well. That's the whole point of this series. And that's that let God help you process your anger. Let God help you process your emotion. That's why I'm encouraging you to do something that has become this a daily habit for me. It's just somewhere in my time of prayer, my time with him, to have a phrase, something a little bit like, God, right now I am feeling. And just to become aware of what I'm feeling and begin to express it to the Lord. A famous New Testament passage about anger is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Many of you probably already know it. But I wanted us to look at that idea in a larger context so we can kind of see what's really being said here. So let's turn for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So it's this larger idea of like submitting the entirety of who we are to the Lord. You know, God loves you just exactly as you are. And he loves you enough that as you give your life to him, he will not leave you as you are. He will make you new. Just like we just sang about. You know, who the Son sets free, I'm free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am who you say I am. We need to learn who we are in Christ, and it will change us. It will change us. Then we get to verse 25. "Therefore, because of this, because you are brand new people, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. And do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." We've heard this passage before. In your anger, do not sin. Remember, anger is not a sin. Anger can lead to sin. There's ways we can respond to anger that are sin. But anger itself is not a sin. But it's not so helpful sometimes to just say, well, so then don't be angry. That's why God gives us a whole lot more detail on this. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." So we express it to the Lord, and then we ask God, "Lord, help me to process my emotion. Help me to understand what it means." Because the anger, it's a secondary emotion. It's a powerful emotion, but it's a secondary emotion. And it's a response to other things that are going on underneath the surface. And just to illustrate a little bit, so I don't think I'm colorblind, though guys are more genetically predispositioned to be colorblind, but I am certain I am color ignorant because I live in a household of amazing women. And I have learned things. I am learning things. Like, for example, if we have a type of paint, here's a paint. I would look at that paint and I would say, that paint is yellow. Because it's kind of yellow, there's some other. And my dear wife would say, no, it's not. I said, it really kind of looks yellow to me. She said, no, you see how there's some orange in there? This color is goldenrod. I have to write this down. there are more colors than just blue, green, yellow, red, purple, and gray, and black, and white. Did you know this? It is so cool. There's a whole spectrum of color. And the amazing women in my life are teaching me to recognize, you know what's true, teaching me to recognize these shades of color. There's colors in between the colors. There's colors that aren't totally yellow and not totally orange, and they're in between, and one of them is goldenrod. Isn't that the coolest thing? Some of you guys, you're going to be writing this down. But here's why I bring this one up is because, see, sometimes this is true for me, and this is I'm going to make a generalization. I know this is not true for all men, but I think it's true in more often for men. Is that it's harder sometimes for us to understand the spectrum of emotion. Like there's times in my life, if you were to ask me how I'm doing, I would basically have two options. I am good, or I am angry. You know, there's I'm good, or I'm angry, I'm good, or I'm frustrated. But I'm coming to discover there's a spectrum in between. That there's good, and there's versions of good. I'm feeling joyful. I'm feeling grateful. I'm feeling thankful. And similarly with the bad, it's not just I'm frustrated or I'm angry. I have new words, like I'm sad or I'm discouraged. There's a spectrum. So as we're looking to process, you know, these emotions before the Lord, one of the really powerful question to ask is, God, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Show me why I'm angry. Because there's going to be multiple possibilities of sources. We talked about one of them last week. Sometimes we are angry because we're grieving. We're grieving. You know, we feel powerless because of loss in our life. It's like, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry. I feel powerless. I want to feel powerful. I feel angry. Give me something to be angry at. I'm just looking for something to be angry at because I'm grieving. Because I'm grieving. That's one possibility. Sometimes I'm angry because I'm just annoyed. You know, like in the case of the car going down the alleyway, I'm just annoyed. I really don't like that some yahoo is going to wake up our daughter and rattle the pictures off the wall. I'm just annoyed. But sometimes anger has a deeper source as well. And this is where we talk about godly anger. Because anger is also a response to injustice. So it can be helpful. Can we put that slide up on the screen? Just some of the options so we can kind of write that down. There are sometimes you have the anger that is because of, it's about two slides ahead. There we go. Thank you. You know, from sadness, or I'm just personally annoyed, but sometimes it's because of an injustice. Now, in that particular, you know, the case of the yahoo driving down our alleyway, on some level there was a bit of an injustice. I mean, he's driving right next to a kid's playground. That's a problem that needs to get solved, or a child could get hurt. Now, granted, just winging water bottles at a car isn't going to solve it. But you know, when you start to pray about it, Lord, why am I angry? Sometimes he can show you things that you can actually do about it. Well, like in the example I just gave, you can probably imagine several things that you could do that are different than just randomly tossing stuff at cars. Maybe you could, in this case, this was on school property. You know, you could go and do like what we did, which is meet up with some other neighbors and actually make a bit of a petition to put in some speed bumps on the alleyway, which, by the way, solved the problem. It is a little emotionally gratifying when that first lowrider with the really massive stereo comes along and discovers there's a speed bump. I'm not sure that was a Christian emotion, but it felt good. I'm just saying, man, that was nice. But my point is it the reason why God has given us anger is because it's intended to be just like godly anger. At its best, it is a response to injustice. It's a superpower that he gives us so that we can help at least do our little tiny part of making wrong things right and bad things better. So Lord, why am I angry? Am I just grieving? In which case, I need to let it go. I feel powerless. I hate feeling powerless, but the truth is I am with a lot of things. There's a lot of this life that I cannot control, and I've got to let it go. I've got to trust it to the one who is all-powerful and can handle it. Am I just personally annoyed? In which case, I got to let it go. Not everything that makes me mad is an injustice in the world. Sometimes I just like it when life is easier for me. I like it when our kid is able to take a nap undisturbed because it's easier for me. And it's better for them too, but it's easier for me. So Lord, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Because then we can take, you know, once we've expressed it, we've vented out the worst of it to the Lord and he can handle it. We've asked God to help us process it, and he does. It's beautiful. Then we can move into that, what I would say to you is step three, is that we can use good anger to right wrongs. You know, even in the Jesus story, we're reminded that, you know, as Jesus was angry, he was looking to solve a problem in the temple. He wasn't there to whip people. He was there to make the temple better. So if you're filling in blanks on the little sheet, you could something, you know, just remember that when you're angry, sometimes you do need to flip tables, but we never need to flip people. People matter to God. Or Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it reminds us this in a much more powerful way. For our struggle, Paul writes, just a little bit later in the same great letter about, you know, where he talks about anger, and in your anger do not sin. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There is a real enemy out there, church. Do you know this? And it's not the person who's the back of the head that you're staring at. It's not your neighbor. It's not necessarily the person of the opposing political party either. That's not your true enemy. We have one. He hates you. Maybe if we could give our emotions to the Lord, we'll be just a little less offended at every random thing that comes down our path and find ourselves getting more angry, more productively angry on the things that really matter. Like right now, Satan's youth group is growing quickly. And God's is getting smaller and smaller. We are about to lose the next generation. Church. Because so often the next generation looks at us and says, I don't even see love there. Get angry about that. Lord, help me to be angry at the right things. So what emotions do you need to give to the Lord today? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your sadness. Maybe it's your frustration. Will you? Could you? I got to be honest, I'm still learning how to pray those kinds of real raw prayers. It feels really weird to drop F-bombs in your prayer life. And I'm not saying to be just unnecessarily crass. Please, please hear me. Please hear me. I'm not glorifying vulgar language. I don't mean to that for a moment. I just mean to say God really wants to hear your heart. He really wants to hear your heart. And sometimes our hearts are messy. And he still wants to hear your heart. Do you realize how much he loves you? What emotions do you need to give to God? Give it to him. Find safe places to express them. Give them to him. Give them to him. Give them to him. He can take it. He can help you to process it. He can help you to make sense of it. He can turn all that into something that actually can be constructive. So what emotions do you need to give to the Lord today? Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Just invite us to bow our heads and this might be a moment under your breath where you just start to express some of these things. I realize for the really big, deep stuff, it's going to take some time. You might need to find a safe place to really let it out. But we can start today. What are you feeling today? What are you feeling right now? Can you give it to the Lord? He can take it. Give it to the Lord. And if for some reason there's somebody here that hasn't yet begun even that fundamental relationship with God, and sometimes it's even those things like, God, well, I feel like I need to get my life figured out before I come to you. I want to just reassure you today, God is not looking for you to get your life cleaned up before you come to him. He's saying, bring me all of the garbage. Bring me all of the filth. I sent my son to die on the cross for all of it. Just give it to me, and I will start the process of making you a new person. So if you haven't yet taken that step, I just invite you to ask Christ into your life. God, this is what I'm feeling. I've got to give it to you. I believe that you love me. I believe that through Jesus, you have forgiven me. I believe that through him, I am offered a brand new life in you, a whole new identity in you. God, I want that so bad. I give it to you. I give you my garbage. And thank you that you give me your gold in return. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Whatever you're feeling today, give it to him. Give it to him. God, thank you that you can handle what we have to give. You see through all the mess, all the anger. You can take it. You can sort it out. You can even turn it into something good if we'll let you. Work in me, Jesus. Just invite you, pray that under your breath. Work in me. Work in me today, God. Meet me in my anger. Meet me in my grief. Meet me in my joy. Meet me in my sadness. I give it to you. I give myself to you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that together this can be a safe place. for us to get real with you. We need you, Lord. We need you. And so we pray all these things in the name of the one who gave himself for us so that we can give him all that we are back in return, even all the messy parts, especially all the messy parts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Invite us to respond in song. So thanks, Ian. Thanks, Heather, for leading us. Invite us to stand as we just pour out our hearts to the Lord. Invite us to have a seat and invite us to take out the communion packets that you received as you were coming in. If for some reason you didn't receive a communion packet and you'd like one, just put your hand up and one of our ushers will get that to you. Or if you're joining us from home, to find some bread, find some juice, and let's remember the Lord together. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he was having a dinner with his disciples, and as part of that dinner, he took bread. And giving thanks, he broke that bread. and he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, in whatever form that might be, whether you're sitting in your RV right now or on a boat, like I think some of you are, whether it's with a little prepackaged packet or with a gigantic loaf of sourdough, however we remember it, it's a powerful reminder of what the love of Jesus looks like. He would give his body and shed his blood so that nothing would stand between us and him. He can handle your anger. He can handle your doubt. He can handle your pain, your sadness, your depression, and yes, your joy and gratitude as well. So we give it to him. Lord, thank you that you gave your body and you shed your blood for us. Help us to never forget just how significant that is. But Lord, may your body and blood, may it strengthen us now as we invite you to move throughout the totality of our lives, every part of our inner life, that we give it to you because you have given yourself to us. We give you our sin because you died for it. We give you our brokenness because you died for it. We give you our dysfunction because you died for it. You give us a brand new life on the other side. Help us to remember you well in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am looking forward to the day when we will have communion stations again. It will not be long, I don't believe. But for now, As we partake of these elements, I invite you to look somebody in the eye before you do. Just to remember that we're in this together and say to them, "This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you." Let's remind one another of this gift as we remember Jesus together. Serve one another. Invite us to stand as we close in prayer. For us, it's become a tradition to close our worship services with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It just reminds us, trains our souls to remember that we're dependent on him for everything in our lives. So invite us to say these words out loud together. If you're joining us online, I invite you, wherever you are, just say these words out loud together. Just you and a phone screen and a bunch of people wondering what you're doing. Okay? Let's say these words out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I got to tell you, little Andrew in the back, I can hear you praying from up here. Richard, you got to be proud of your boy. You taught him how to pray. That's awesome. That's the one of the sweetest sounds in the world right there. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for investing in the next generation, Columbia Grove. It's good. So as we go from here, let's go as people who love like Jesus and in all that we do, including how we process our emotion. We're going to put some questions up on the screen. I invite you to take a minute or two just to talk to somebody. Answer at least like one of them, you know, just so we can kind of let the Spirit anchor a few things in your heart before you just rush off to wherever you rush off to. Take all the time you need. We're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. Lord, as we go from this place, help us to be people who are just deeply formed by your word. So that even as we experience emotions like anger, we don't just experience it like the angry world around us. But teach us, God, how to give it to you, how to acknowledge it and let you help us sort it out and then use it for good, we pray. Bless us, God, as we go, that it would be a blessing not just to our lives and to the people immediately around us, but to those who follow us, that next generation. Our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, those people that our life could potentially impact that we have never even met yet. Do that work in us, we pray. And we give it all to you, Jesus. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us. Have a great week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.